So we're finally continuing Chapter 10 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Okay, here we go. Neither Mr. Weasley nor Percy was at home much over the following week. Both left the house each morning before the rest of the family got up, and returned well after dinner every night. "It's been an absolute uproar," Percy told them, importantly, Sunday evening, before they were all due to return to Hogwarts. "I've been putting out fires all week. People keep sending howlers, and of course, if you don't open a howler, straight away it explodes. Scorch marks over my desk, and my best quill reduced to cinders." "Why are they sending howlers?" asked Ginny, who was mending her copy of 1,000 Magical Herbs and Fungi, which the spellotape on the rug in, with a spellotape on the rug in front of the living room fire. "Oh, complaining about security at the World Cup," said Percy. "They want compensation for their ruined property. Mundungus Fletcher's put a claim in for a 12-broom tent with an ensuite jacuzzi, but I've got his number. I know for a fact he was sleeping under a cloak on prop sticks." Mrs. Weasley glanced at the grandfather clock. Wouldn't that be like fraud?
Yeah.
And wouldn't, like...
It seems to me that, like, the Wizarding World has so many, like, bureaucratic kinks in it, and, like, innovative kinks, that, like, Muggles have figured out all this, like, really, like, ingenious crap. And wizards are behind.
Yeah, it's very, yeah, like, it's so old-fashioned the way they do things.
We have super glue.
What's that?
Like, cellotape, we have super glue.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, the clothes that they wear that, like, we call shabby, why can't they just, like, wave a magic wand and make it, like, invincible, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Their whole world is really backwards.
Yeah, and like in some cool ways, in some like silly ways.
Yep. Yep. Should I continue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mrs. Weasley glanced at the
Wait a minute. Yes. This is the other thing. We have texting now and stuff like that. Like, we get messages instantaneously.
Yup.
We don't have to use owls.
Yup. Or the, flu powder or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in some ways, like... our magic is way better than their magic.
Also, like, writing with quills, we have computers.
Exactly, yeah.
And, like, so many books, we have computers and quills.
Yo. Mm. Now, if only we could get a couple of their things, like, you know, teleportation, for example.
Right, like, that would suck.
Yeah. Or time travel, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I suppose. I like how they use time travel, like, for letting kids get to their classes on time. Like, think of all the ridiculous things you could do with time travel. And what do they choose to do? They, like, issue it to a student so she can take a few more classes. You know? Like, think how powerful you could be if Hermione wanted to, she could have done ridiculous amounts of stuff, you know? She could have made bets. She could, like, and won tons of money. She could have, you know, like, I don't know, effectively stolen things and put them back, you know? I don't know, all sorts of things. It's ridiculous. The whole thing's ridiculous. What's that?
Nothing, just keep reading.
Okay. So Mrs. Weasley glanced at the grandfather clock in the corner. Harry liked this clock. It was completely useless if you wanted to know the time, but otherwise very informative. It had 9 golden hands, and each of them was engraved with one of the Weasley's family's names. There were no numerals around the face, but descriptions of where each family member might be. Home, school, and work were there, but also there were traveling, lost, hospital, prison, and the position where the number 12 would be on a normal clock, mortal peril. 8 of the hands were currently pointing at the home position, but Mr. Weasley's, which was the longest, was still pointing to work. Mrs. Weasley's side. See, stuff like this, right? Like, it's very cool, but think of all the cool things you could do with that particular style of magic, other than, like, see where your family members are, you know? Yeah. Like, all sorts of spies and stuff, if you could somehow figure out where people are. Anyways. Mrs. Weasley sighed. Your father hasn't had to go into the office on weekends since the days of you-know-who, she said. They're working him far too hard. His dinner's going to be ruined if he doesn't come home soon. Well, Father feels like he's got to make up for his mistake at the match, doesn't he? Said Percy. If truth be told, he was a tad unwise to make a public statement without clearing it with his head of department first. Don't you dare blame your father for what that wretched Skeeter woman wrote, said Mrs. Weasley, flaring up at once. If Dad hadn't said anything, old Rita would have just said it was disgraceful that nobody in the ministry had commented, said Bill, who was playing chess with Ron. Rita Skeeter never makes anyone look good. Remember, she interviewed all the Gringotts charm breakers once and called me a long-haired pillock. Well, it is a bit long, dear, said Mrs. Weasley gently. If you just let me. No, Mum. Rain lashed against the living room window. Hermione was immersed in the standard book of spells, grade 4. Copies of which Mrs. Weasley had bought for her, Harry, Ron, in Diagon Alley. Charlie was darning a fireproof balaclava, and Harry was polishing his firebolt in his room by himself under the covers. Harry, you're not paying attention to me.
Sorry, I'm falling asleep. What?
They're saying what all the people are doing. And they go, Hermione's reading a book, and you know, Charlie's doing some thing with his thing, and it goes, Harry was polishing his firebolt under the covers in his room by himself. But it really says that he was polishing his firebolt. Ooh. He was using a broomstick servicing kit Hermione had given him for his 13th birthday open at his feet. Fred and George were sitting in a far corner, quills out, talking in whispers, their heads bent over a piece of parchment. What are you two up to? Said Mrs. Weasley sharply, her eyes on the twins. Homework, said Fred vaguely. Don't be ridiculous, you're still on holiday, said Mrs. Weasley. Yeah, but we've left a bit late, said George. You're not by any chance writing a new order form, are you? Said Mrs. Weasley shrewdly. You wouldn't be thinking of restarting Weasley's Wizard Wheezes by any chance. Now, Mum, said Fred, looking up at her, a pained look on his face, if the Hogwarts Express crashed tomorrow and George and I died, how would you feel knowing that the last thing we ever heard from you was an unfounded accusation? Everyone laughed, even Mrs. Weasley. Oh, your father's coming, she said suddenly, looking up at the clock again. Mr. Weasley's hand suddenly spun from work to traveling. A second later, it shuddered to a halt on home with the others, and they heard him calling from the kitchen. Coming, Arthur, called Mrs. Weasley, hurrying out of the room. A few moments later, Mr. Weasley came into the warm living room carrying his dinner on a tray. He looked completely exhausted. Well, the fat's really in the fire now, he told Mrs. Weasley as he sat down in the armchair near the hearth and toyed unenthusiastically with his somewhat shriveled cauliflower. Rita Skeeter's been fettering it around at all work, looking for more ministry mess-ups to report. And now she's found about poor old Bertha going missing, so that'll be the headline in the Prophet tomorrow. I told Bagman he should have sent someone to look for her ages ago. Mr. Crouch has been saying it for weeks and weeks, said Percy swiftly. Crouch is very lucky Rita hasn't found out about Winky. said Mr. Weasley irritably. There'd be a week's worth of headlines in his house elf being caught holding a wand that conjured the dark mark. I thought we all agreed that the elf, while irresponsible, did not conjure the mark, said Presley hotly. If you ask me, Mr. Crouch is very lucky. No one at the Daily Prophet knows how mean he is to elves, said Hermione angrily. Now look here, Hermione, said Percy. A high-ranking ministry official like Mr. Crouch deserves unswerving obedience from his servants. His slave, you mean, said Hermione, her voice rising passionately. Because he didn't pay Winky, did he? I think you'd all better go upstairs and check that you've packed properly, said Mrs. Weasley, breaking up the argument. Come on now, all of you. Harry repacked his broomstick servicing kit and put his firebolt over his shoulder. Okay, that one doesn't work. And went back upstairs with Ron. The rain sounded even louder from the top of the house, accompanied by loud whistling and moans from the wind, not to mention sporadic howls from the ghoul who lived in the attic. Pigwidgeon began twittering and zooming around his cage as they entered. The sight of the half-packed trunk seemed to have sent him into a frenzy of excitement. Brung him some owl treats, said Ron, throwing a packet across to Harry. It might shut him up. Harry poked a few owl treats through the bars of Pidwiggin's cage, then turned to his trunk. Hedwig's cage stood next to it, still empty. It's been over a week, said Harry, looking at Hedwig's deserted perch. Ron, you don't reckon Sirius has been caught, do you? Nah, it would have been in the Daily Prophet, said Ron. The Ministry would want to show they got someone, wouldn't they? Yeah, I suppose. Look, here's some stuff Mom got you from in Diagon Alley. And she's got some gold out of your vault for you, and she's washed all your socks. He heaved a pile. What's that? The socks? He heaved a pile of parcels onto Harry's camp bed and dropped the money bag and the load of socks next to it. Harry started unwrapping the shopping. Apart from the Standard Book of Spells, Grade 4, by Miranda Goshuk, he had a handful of new quills, a dozen rolls of parchment, and refills for his potion-making kit. He'd been running low on Spine of Lionfish and Essence of Belladonna. He was just piling underwear into his cauldron when Ron made a loud noise of disgust behind him. What is that supposed to be? He was holding up something that looked to Harry like a long maroon velvet dress. It had a moldy-looking lace frill at the collar and matching lace cuffs. There was a knock on the door, and Mrs. Weasley entered, carrying an armful of fresh-laundered Hogwarts robes. Here you are, she said, sorting them into two piles. Now, mind you, pack them properly so they don't crease. Mum, you've given me Ginny's new dress, said Ron, handing it out to her. Of course I haven't, said Mrs. Weasley. That's for you, dress robes. What? Said Ron, looking horror-struck. Dress robes, repeated Mrs. Weasley. It says on your school list you're supposed to have dress robes this year. Robes for special formal occasions. You've got to be kidding, said Ron in disbelief. I'm not wearing that, no way. Everybody wears them, Ron, said Mrs. Weasley crossly. They're all like that. Your father's got some for smart parties. I'll go Starker's before I put that on, said Ron stubbornly. Don't be silly, said Mrs. Weasley. You've got to have dress robes. They're on your list. I've got some for Harry, too. Show him, Harry. In some trepidation, Harry opened the last parcel on his camp bed. It wasn't as bad as he'd expected, however. His dress robes didn't have any lace on them at all. In fact, they were more or less the same as his school ones, except they were bottle green instead of black. I thought they'd bring out the color of your eyes, dear, said Mrs. Weasley fondly. Well, they're okay, said Ron angrily, looking at Harry's robes. Why couldn't I have some like that? Because, well, I had to get yours second hand, and there wasn't a lot of choice, said Mrs. Weasley, flushing. Harry looked away. He would willingly have split all the money in his Gringotts vault with the Weasleys, but he knew they never would take it. I'm not wearing them, Ron was saying stubbornly. Never. Fine, snapped Mrs. Weasley. Go naked. And Harry, make sure you get a picture of him. Goodness knows I could do with a laugh. She left the room, slamming the door behind her. There was a funny sputtering noise from behind them. Big Widgeons was choking on an overlarge owl treat. "Why is everything I own rubbish?" said Ron furiously, striding across the room to unstick Big Widgeons' beak. And that's the end of Chapter 10. And next, we'll read Chapter 11, called Aboard the Hogwarts Express. You like that, my boo? I love you so much, kitty. Sleep well. Sweet dreams. I'm just saying goodnight. I'm just saying goodnight. Or do you want me to say goodnight to you both? Are you there with me, kitty? Should I say goodnight to you now? Okay. I love you so much, sweetheart. Sleep well. Good night, lover.
I love you.
I love you too. Sleep well.
Bye.
Good night.